Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching and listening to Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We're on the Grid Sports Grid, and we're also on SB Nation Radio. Weekdays at 6, throwing it down, following the legend, Scotty Farrell, going coast to coast. Weekdays at 4, Mike Blewett will step up and in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the National Football League draft. We've covered quite a bit on the program so far. Me and Cam will get into a couple of other over-unders as far as NFL players are concerned, but we were talking about the challenges it faces leagues to come back, how many people you need to have a television production, even without fans, and we're talking about the future of gaming in casinos, and that's not fun to me, Cam, so I can't go and just get drunk and hang around. There's no band playing anymore. When the band's going to be in gloves and masks, there's no bars. That's another thing, too. Like President Trump, you know, he's anxious, open up America, et cetera. So he has different phases, right? Phase one, phase two, phase three, et cetera. They weren't his. Obviously, it's Dr. Birx and Fauci, et cetera. But bars are like last camp. Like bars are, if they're germ, they think about it.
They're bacteria.
Bacteria is just exactly. You can't have people socializing in bars yet. So even in Vegas, they said, yeah, you can get drinks, but not at the bar. And you're going to have a mask on. And what, you're going to go into the nice steakhouse there, Cam, with your rubber gloves and cut up your steak?
It doesn't work.
And another like, I'd rather wait a year and a half when it's normal. I'll give you a vaccine and I'll go normally. You know what I'm saying?
Until there's a vaccine, sorry, casinos. Also, who attracts casinos? Elderly people. Oh. If there's a third wave, you take down your mask, you breathe on the old lady, she gets COVID-19. This is not working. People in the sports books, all the things that you touch.
I'm in no hurry to go back to a racetrack, Cam, right now around old people. I got to be honest.
I know. You deal with a lot.
I don't want to be around them. I don't want to kill them, and I don't want them killing me.
Exactly. It works both ways. I'm with you. And I just think the casinos, I get it. There's a real problem right now, but having this open is going to cause more of a problem. Again, people don't understand. This needs to go. You need to be vaccinated, so if you get this thing, you will not die. Right.
I think they lose. I mean, personally, I think they know it, too. They're better off being closed.
I agree.
It's $2 million a day, guys, to turn the lights on in a casino. Just because, we're on whatever. When they come back, it'll be back for real. They're not going to have the lights off. Like, so suddenly, all right, power up. Yeah. And then you're going to power up an empty casino? Like, one's going to be there. And it's going to cost you, like, dude, the win... I know the win's a higher end one, but can the win literally $2 million to turn the lights on every day?
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing.
To open up the doors and operate, it's $2 million a day. They're not going to get the revenue back, bro.
No. You think you're getting comps, too, when they do open up? All the money that they lost during this? Unless you're the highest roller in the world, there's no free.
It's going to be empty. It's going to be empty anyways.
Yes, exactly.
And that's another thing. They're going to have to get money. They're going to have to get people to come back. Dude, no one has money. It's 22 million people filed for unemployment. Who's going to Vegas right now? And secondly, you're going to have to lower your prices, guys.
Yeah.
Like everyone coming out of this.
Yeah.
You can't rip people off anymore. Like Atlantic City, you got a lot of nerve charging $400 for March Madness for hotel room.
Yeah, good luck.
Like, come on. And now you have your hand out. Oh, we need help. Yeah, you need help. You know what I mean? How about you charge people a reasonable price? Yeah, the gaming industry can. A lot of challenges moving forward, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Gabe, is what I said before. There is no, for this situation that we have with what's going on, there's nothing worse than the gaming. The tickets, the chips, everything that you do. It's like, think about it. I go to a casino and I'm washing my hands vigorously when I'm just playing at the table with all the things that are going on. And that's just during regular
time. You're a big casino guy. Me too. Yeah. But you're a big table. Like you said, you like to laugh and joke and talk to everyone. Yeah. Everyone's going to have a mask on. Kimmy, what'd you say? Everyone's going to be leaning in. You're going to see it. People are going to be lifting it down. Oh, I said this. You're going to put it back up.
Get all over
and
your
then
face.
People are, you know what's going to happen, Ken. Some drunk guy's going to say, F this. He's ripping his mask off. I don't care anymore. People are going to get mad. It's going to be a problem containing it. You're going to have drunk people. Like, it's just, so this is interesting, actually. And shout out to our boy Dan in Pennsylvania. Great guy and a big fan of the show. Shout out to Dan. It's amazing. He sends a tweet about exactly what we're talking about right now. All right, so this is the Vegas. This is for Vegas and the casinos and what they're going to do. Table game operations. Cleaning and sanitizing protocol. Supervise to sanitize table games and rails after each guest leaves the table. Supervisors to sanitize each chair area after each guest leaves a game. Dealers to sanitize dice for each new shooter. Dealer to sanitize the on-off button when entering a game. Dealer to sanitize the exterior of the card shoe when entering a game. Yeah, it's already too much. And the dealer can't even do all this. Like,
exactly.
How are you even going to play? All right, hold on, guys. I got to wait.
Like, you know what it's going to come down to, too? It's already, you already wait for them to crack open new cards when you're playing blackjack. They do the hand shuffle on the table. So now, okay, so what? You burn every deck because people have touched it? It's the problem is, Gabe, things that take a while are now going to take 4 to 5 times, maybe 10 times as long. The fun will be taken out of the casino, and all the reasons you went, you won't go anymore. It's a very, very difficult thing to do from a guy that goes to casinos and plays a lot. I don't think it's possible. I really don't. And the mask thing is a disaster. You're right. Some drunk's going to rip it off, spit in somebody's face when he's wasted. Like, it just has train wreck written all over it.
I know everyone's freaking out. You want to get back. It's only been a month, guys. I get it. I understand the economy's tanking and everything, and people are flipping out, but you're just going to make it worse, and there's going to be a second wave of this as well. It sucks. We're in the middle of a pandemic, guys. It is what it is. There's no, we don't control this. The virus does, and we just need these guys to get on this damn vaccination, man.
That's the key.
Like,
you
get vaccination, guys, 3-4 years from now, it'll be like Nelson Muntz. Ha ha, coronavirus. People will be laughing. Ha ha, yeah, remember that stupid thing? We're not there yet. We're not laughing at this thing yet, right? And, you know, listen to all these rules. I didn't even want to go through them all, Ken. Dealer to sanitize tote boxes when entering a game. Pie Gow tile sanitized when new dealer enters the game. Employees to sanitize tables and chairs and usage during the game. So how's the dealer even going to deal, Cam? Like, it sounds like the dealer's like a janitor maintenance man now.
Yeah, what's he got? Latex gloves on, just throwing the cards? Like, I don't know. It just sounds like more trouble than what it's worth. And you're right, Gabe. It's like, this is not something that's unprecedented. It's never happened in our lives. God forbid, you know, I knew a couple of guys, you know, that their dads went to Vietnam. My friends from the States are parents in World War. Like, this is nothing in our lifetime. We've been pretty lucky as citizens. Let's call it out for what it is. We've had a pretty good go of it. None of us have had to gone off to war or whatever. This is the first serious thing. And you said it. It's been 1 month. I get it. We all have problems. There's money issues right now, whatever. But going out and forcing things are just going to make it 100 times worse. So you got to bear down for a year. And then hopefully things, you know what I mean? That's the bottom line. I hate to be that guy, the voice of reason, but that's what it is. Till there's vaccinations, you can't be playing around, dude. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's... You know, it doesn't mean that leagues can't get it going. But as far as general, you're right. As far as general society, and, you know, I was thinking about that. Even sports books, it's not going to be the same. They'll open up sports books again, but, you know, you can only have 25 people in there at once or whatnot. It's just, that's what I miss, Cam. I miss society.
I know.
I'm a people person as well. Like, and I was at the FanDuel Sportsbook every night doing the show out of there. I was the mayor of the Meadowlands talking to people and shaking hands and, all that's different. You can't shake hands anymore. All right, so we got some questions coming in here. And this is a good one, actually, from JC. JC Winters. What's up, JC? Question of the day. Do you think Vegas will move their lines to like 115 or minus 120 in the future to offset some of the losses that they've had? You know what? I don't think they will. Because, to be honest, guys, Vegas casinos are different. Like FanDuel, DraftKings, etc., they're only sports books. They're taking a beating here on this, all right? This is their business. A Vegas casino, an Atlantic City casino, guys, people don't realize this, but you know it, Cam. A sports book's like 3% of their revenue. It's nothing.
They don't even give you like
they don't care.
Yeah, no. The crazy thing about sports books is I've always wondered, and I told people when we've been around Vegas, me and you have dropped thousands there. We're getting, a couple drink tickets? We should be accommodated for rooms. They don't treat the sports gambler the same way as they do the slot player.
There's a reason the sports book's always in the back corner of a casino. You ever seen a sports book in the center of the room? No.
That's exactly.
Right? It's there. They hope that you bet on sports and then stumble out and bet on the tables after. That's their whole thing. But, when people, Vegas sports book casinos, they don't care. Like, and honestly, like I live there, guys. In the summertime, some of them close.
Yeah, they're ghost towns.
Yeah, basically, you could bet on sports there, but they'll have a window open at the cage. Yeah, you want to bet, there's a kiosk here. And this is in the summertime, guys, with the Vegas sports books. That's when they'll put the new carpet down. That's when they'll renovate the place for football season. All right, we'll put new TVs in. We're going to shut it down. You can bet at the cage, right? There's not a lot of people in a Vegas sports book in the summertime. And another thing is Vegas in the summertime is hot as hell. And like I said, it's Vegas is in a tough situation. It's amazing. Their city was going so well. And then to get hit with this, out of a lot of cities, Vegas is really going to be affected by this. There's such a tourism industry and they're driven by tourism so much. All right. Lord Thunderwing, what was the best rivalry in hockey? The old school Canadian rivalries he's asking about. Canadians, Nordiques, Leafs, Senators, Flames, Oilers.
Meh.
It's Canadians or Nordiques and Flames, Oilers.
For me, I'm actually going to do something different. I'm going to go with a Canadian-American team over the years. It's Boston and Montreal because they were always good. They always met in the playoffs and wars. So I think the real...
About the regional rivalry.
Oh, regional rivalry? Battle of Alberta's okay.
You know what it is? The Quebec and Montreal is as good as it got.
Those were great.
But the thing is, they actually weren't great at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Edmonton and Calgary were playing to go to cups and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Canadians and Nordiques just beat the crap out of each other in the first round of the playoffs. And,
Great point. And also, if you watch this year, the Alberta rivalry has really been going on. Like, I've watched games this year. The most violence that we've had in the National Hockey League have been the Edmonton-Calgary games, like bench brawls, all sorts of stuff. So it lives today. But, I'll give the battle of Alberta. Ottawa-Toronto, that's pussy stuff there. Right? That's weak compared to the Alberta one, don't you think?
That was just so manufactured. Our boy Ken checks in, says, have you and Cam ever thought about being a tag team in wrestling? I got to be honest with you, Ken. Like, I injure myself hosting this show right now. Tag team.
I'll go for a finishing move and get winded or what. I don't know. Me and Gabe got a bigger
plan. I have the energy to be a manager. Like, walk out. I guess I could do that. Stand on the side. All right, go, Cam. Let's go, buddy.
Need some dust. Like Kabuki. Yeah, blind.
I've always thought me and Cam would be good at wrestling, actually. Everyone knows my famous story in which I got attacked by Billy Gunn and I got pulled over the rail. I was in the crowd and I hit Billy Gunn in the face with a beer and he got so pissed off. He literally came over to me and he pulled me. I was like, I could tell when he was coming. I was like, he's mad for real. I hit him right in the face, bro. But I didn't mean to. I did and I did it. Like, people were throwing cups at him and it was in the old days so you could throw things, right? But I was in the first row and I was double fisting at Cam. And one of my beers a little warm and flat, but it was like half full. So people were throwing. Billy Gunn was sort of walking towards me. And I said, hey, Billy. And I flipped the cup at him, except the weight of the beer was like a missile, Cam. Like, I didn't mean to do it. I thought it would just sort of whatever and ha, ha, ha. No, it like flew in the air with weight, smacked Billy Gunn right in the forehead. Like hard, bam, and the beer went all over him. And he got so mad, he came over. And he pulled me over the rail. And people in the building thought it was part of the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Who's this guy?
Yeah, so I'm down, and he's got me in, like, an arm bar type thing, right? He grabbed me by the arm in the back, and he told me, I'm going to effing kill you, kid. And he's like, I'm going to kill you, whatever. And security are sort of, like, getting him off of me.
That's amazing.
They walked me up the ramp, Cam, where the wrestlers came out.
Oh, yeah, I love the ramp. Very steep. People don't understand. That ramp's pretty steep.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't Monday Night Raw. It was like a house show.
Okay.
So, but still, it was sort of like the ramp, but like I got brought out where the wrestlers were coming in. So after the show outside on the street, people were coming up to me. They were like, who's your character? Who are you with? Are you a manager? And they thought I was part of the show, Cam. I played it up too. I'm like,
Yeah. New guy in town. Watch, tune in next week. You'll see. Yeah. That's the best.
I told the story too. I went back like 4 or 5 months later. Billy Gunn came back, and I had signs and stuff. I'm trolling him. This is years ago, right? Billy Gunn comes over and he goes, "What's your problem, anyways?"
Yeah,
like, do you remember, right? And he goes, "Are we good?" And he shook my hand and stuff. Then I became a big fan. I'm like, Billy Gunn, everybody, this guy rocks. Yeah, Billy Gunn.
Yeah, he could have put.
I miss those days.
He could have put.
That was like 25 years ago, Cam, getting drunk and going to wrestling and stuff. Great times.
Love it. No, that's the thing, too. Like, he has the right. Like, once you've thrown a beer on him there, like, you're pretty nice. They only put you in, like, an arm bar. Good thing he didn't, like, really wind you up and crank you one. That would have been pretty tough.
There's a prop out there, Cam, for the National Football League draft. Tomorrow, let's start locking it down.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll have three more shows leading up to the draft. So we'll just go betting, prop. Mike Blue will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll get into the NFL draft as well. But what about Alabama? Over under 5.5 players taken in the first round. You think they get to 6? I'm sort of seeing 5.
I see 5.
5. 6 is a little much, huh?
5. Like King Kong Bundy, buddy.
Yeah, 2 is a lock for the first round.
Yep.
Jerry Judy's a lock, obviously.
Yep.
Henry Ruggs is going in the first round.
Yes, he is.
Although I think after 13.5. Jedrick Wills, guaranteed first rounder. So there's 4 locks right there.
McKinney. Is that 5?
Is McKinney a lock? Late first rounder?
But who's 6?
That's only 5. Tua 1, Judy 2, Ruggs 3, Wills 4, McKinney 5. And then you get Trayvon Diggs or Raquan Davis.
Yeah,
I don't think they get to 6. I think it's 5.
Yeah, I like 5, too.
Maybe 4.
I like 5. I think they'll get to 5.
I'm with you. I think McKinney will be a late first-round pick. Because, look, Cam, there's going to be so many wide receivers drafted. When there's wide receivers drafted, what do other teams need to do? Take defensive backs. You've got to fight that, right? It's like, all right, they're going to have a stud kid for a couple of years. I better get a stud DB right now. Or I better get that good safety. So it's 5.5 for total Alabama players. 5.5 for LSU players.
That's high too.
It's over plus 225 though.
Yeah.
For LSU, under is minus 310. Joe Burrow is a lock. Jefferson. Yeah, they're not getting there. Like,
no way.
I don't like playing Juice.
I don't think Delpit
doesn't have 6 players being drafted in the first.
They're talking about Delpit. I was telling Puccio, he's really slipping too. They have people with Winfield Jr. from Minnesota ahead of him on a lot of mocks, which is interesting. They have him as maybe the 3rd safety taken. He'll definitely go in round 2.
Dude, man, I remember once about 3 weeks ago, Cam, and I was like, he's not getting drafted that high. It's tough, though. I didn't want to have my money tied up forever. I didn't know if the draft was going to be canceled. We're uncertain. You know, we're in this uncertain world right now. But the draft is real here, guys. So it's time to start locking it down. Great stuff, Cam. Mike Blewett's going to step up and in. We'll talk some NFL draft props, NFL news with Mike Blewett.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are watching and listening to Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid. Mike Blewett's on the grid, and Mike Blewett's on the clock, as well as the National Football League draft rapidly approaches. Mike, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Excited, just a few days away, so... I'm excited about it.
Yeah, in a world of uncertainty, it's nice to have a little certainty, at least to know that we have the National Football League draft. Yeah. And, there's a million props on the board to take a look at. One of the more polarizing players this year has been Tua coming out of Alabama. It's funny how time changes things. You look at the world that we live in and how the times have changed. But if you go back to, like, last year, people were talking about tanking for Tua. For Tua. And it makes you wonder. I remember a couple of years ago, it was, I guess, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I guess it would have been four, actually, when Sam Darnold lit the world on fire in Los Angeles with the USC Trojans. Yeah. And he went back and he played another year.
That's right.
And people were talking about, wow, people are going to tank for Sam Darnold. And I remember Sam Darnold actually stating, anybody that tanks for me doesn't know what they're doing. It wouldn't be a very smart move to try to tank to get me. And that always stuck with me. But when people talk about that, like right now, people talk, well, maybe the Jaguars would be better off tanking for Trevor Lawrence right now, that Trevor Lawrence is up next. Yet by the time next year's NFL draft approaches, God knows what's going on in the world. And maybe Trevor Lawrence isn't Trevor Lawrence anymore. It's amazing how time can change the perception on a player.
And Gabe, just in the example with Tua specifically, if you were trying to convince somebody that it wasn't going to be Tua that was going to be the top quarterback drafted, they would have told you it'd be Justin Herbert. They might have come up with some other names. But at this time last year, nobody would have told you Joe Burrow.
That's a good point. You know, I brought it up. Phil Steele, who's pretty much the best in the business when it comes to college football, he is. Like, Herb Street's good, and, you know, there's guys that are good out there that know college football. My boy Mark Lawrence, a great handicapper with college football, but Phil Steele, and we had Phil Steele on before the season started, and I said, Phil, who's the dark horse for the Heisman? And because I brought it up, whoever the favorite for the Heisman is, guys, never wins. That's my whole point with this almost. Every year, there's always some slam dunk, oh, this kid's coming back, there's no way he's not the Heisman Trophy winner. And like Manziel, when he won, he came out of nowhere. Like, kids always come out of nowhere. Joe Burrow was 200-1, Mike. Think about that. He was 200-1. It was laughable to think that LSU was going to run the table. Yes. And, you know, Joe Burrow looked good 2 years ago with LSU, but he didn't look like number one pick in the NFL draft good.
No way.
One thing that in my research, and I say I'm a real Matlock guy here that I discovered this, my research, I have nothing like real secret. Ooh, in my research, I came up with this. I didn't realize that Joe Burrow is going to be 25 years old in December.
Yeah.
He's 24 years old now. He's going to be 25 before the season's even done. That's the one thing that, wow, I didn't realize that, though about Burrow. Did you realize he was that old?
I did, only because one of the writers from The Athletic, Michael Salfino, whom I know a little bit, really virtually, we go back and forth on things. He's been harping on this quite a bit. So he's older than some of the younger quarterbacks that are in the league already. His only comp, really, of an older quarterback that came out recently would be Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was a little bit older. Carson Wentz and Teddy Bridgewater are virtually the same age, only about a month apart. So you start to do those comparisons, how long Teddy Bridgewater has been in the league in comparison to Carson Wentz. So, yeah, Burrow is older than some of these young quarterbacks that are already have a couple of years under their belt.
And the thing is, guys, generally NFL teams, it's a flag. They don't like older guys. right? They, you know, if you're old, they don't like it. They because basically, you wonder if you're 24 years old, you're 25. How much more upside is there?
That's right.
You know what I mean? You've already grown physically. How much bigger are you getting? How much
Why
stronger
couldn't you
are you
develop
getting?
Earlier, right?
Yes. Like, so did you just have that flash year? You know, it's funny because actually I always say that about MMA fighting, right? You always get like they'll sign these new dudes in the UFC. Well, when there was the UFC, but yeah. They'd sign these new dudes out of Brazil. And I'd say, dude, if this guy was any good, they would have signed him 7 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're sort of at the point now, well, all right, now we'll bring this guy in. But it's interesting. It's like BYU players, guys. You know, BYU guys are all old, sort of like Detmer. Remember the kid out of Florida State?
Chris Wenke, yeah.
He was older, though. He was literally like 27.
He played baseball for a long period of time and then came over. Brandon Whedon, same kind of thing. You know, those guys were
in
their late 20s.
Yeah, and what's the common pattern? They all sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, like, what's the pattern?
I'll say this.
And Carson Wentz has never gotten better. Carson Wentz played his best football as a rookie.
Yeah, he was on fire for about a month last year, but it didn't sustain. Obviously, they got a weapons issue there for him. But I would say that I'm more concerned about the lack of experience with a quarterback than I am about their age. I think it's a fair critique and a data point to look at, but I get more Dwayne Haskins only playing 13 games. Mitch Trubisky only playing 13 games. Mark Sanchez had only played about 16 games when they came out. And too early to tell on Haskins, but Trubisky's already effectively benched. And Sanchez looked good early, but that was a team built on defense and running the ball, and he really couldn't sustain his success. So that's a bigger red flag for me than it is maybe the guy being a year or two older. But I think it's fair to look at.
So when I started this, I was talking about Tua, and it reminds me a lot of last year with Lamar Jackson. And in different scenario, but the same way. You know, basically, there was just a daily campaign and smear job against Lamar last year.
Yeah.
Oh, his footwork is back, is bad. We wonder about his intelligence, you know, the football IQ. He's just fast. He took off. All of which wasn't true.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Bobby Petrino was his coach, talking about an NFL coach, right?
Yeah.
And Bobby Petrino said, no, he's got great footwork. We worked on it. Like, he really was, like, much better than the so-called experts said he was. Now, most of the so-called experts, the draft gurus, all say nice things about Tua. It's more the unnamed NFL guys, which leads me to believe they like him a lot, right? Yeah. That's the way I'm looking at this. Oh, you know, remember like Miami right away. Oh, Miami did a bad interview with Miami. Miami's not really interested. It's funny. Now there's reports Miami were trying to get him online the other day to do a conference call with him.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's I'm sure you guys don't like him all that much. The prop right now is over under 3.5 plus 225. But just like last year when Lamar came into the league a couple of years ago, when Lamar came in, it was the similar situation about, the Wonderlic and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And let's go over the Wonderlic scores. And call me silly. I remember when I'm old enough, Mike, and you are too, when the Wonderlic was supposed to be confidential. Like, this isn't a combine. Like, what's the deal with the one? Why are we getting Wonderlic scores all the time now?
Yeah. So, the one thing I would say to that is that while I'm intrigued by the Wonderlic scores, and I admit selfishly it's a talking point for us, I shouldn't know what they are. I shouldn't know what they are. You shouldn't know what they are. Nobody should know what they are. I think it unfairly paints these players as simpletons or somebody that can't grasp an offense when no analyst really knows how to grasp an offense either. So you can't possibly put your
But the thing is, you can be able to grasp up. You can grasp an offense and not do well on the Wonderlic.
I agree.
Like if you look at Tua, his football IQ is through the roof.
It is.
Like he doesn't make mistakes. Like that's the whole thing with him. He doesn't make mistakes. He makes the right decision. He doesn't fumble. He doesn't throw interceptions. Like he doesn't I've seen interviews with him after Alabama games before, and he was upset at himself because of an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I missed a pass in the second quarter. I really should have got that. I'm going to look at the tape, why I missed the pass. Like Nick Saban basically stated that he's a perfectionist almost to a fault. Like, he's bothered by everything all the time. And it's funny because Lamar Jackson, same thing. Oh, he didn't do well in the Wonderlic and stuff. Lamar has a pretty high football IQ. Like, he knows how to bait people. He knows when to take off. So let's just go over the Wonderlic scores that we have right now.
Yeah.
And it means nothing. All right. So Nate Stanley, quarterback out of Iowa, scored a 40.
Yep.
Scored a 40.
Yeah.
Nate Stanley will be a career backup in the NFL.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm scored a 35. Good for him.
The love affair with Jake Fromm is happening. You know it. I know it. You're already starting to see stories about it.
Not happening with me.
People, I not from us, but from some of the NFL crowd really liking Jake Fromm. Now, again, there's a lot of smoke being thrown around, but
I like Jacob Eason better, the guy that he actually replaced at Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Lisi, whom I've spoken to several times this week, loves Eason too. He's the guy that he thinks has a chance to sneak in and be the late first round pick just based on his ability.
Joe Burrow got a 34.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, 27. Justin Herbert, 25. We won't go through every player, but you know, talking about the bigger name quarterbacks, Jacob Eason, 23. James Morgan, Florida International. He's a trendy pick, actually. Mm-hmm. There's people that secretly, well, not so secretly, are liking him. A kid out of Florida International, played at Bowling Green as well before.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, 18. Tua, 13.
Yeah.
So to put it into perspective, Lamar Jackson last year, 13. I almost like that. So you're telling me the MVP got 13 last year?
Yeah.
Wasn't Tua wear number 13? It's perfect.
He does.
He does. He's 13. He's
saying, Dolphins fans
that's
creating.
That's what I would joke about him.
Dolphins say, fans hey, creating. Yeah, go ahead.
You got 13 on 13, you know?
He's got Dolphins fans creating a conspiracy theory that he wore Dan Marino's number his whole life, and then he scored Dan Marino's number on the Wonderlic, so he's destined to go to the Dolphins.
Well, that's the thing, that you want to get into the Wonderlic score. Greg McElroy is a great guy, smart guy. I enjoy him as an analyst on TV. He was doing the XFL. He does college football. And I didn't see, he's not listed here as the greatest all time, but it's no secret, really. He got 50 on 50.
Yeah.
Like Greg McElroy answered everything. Boom, 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 boom,
Fitz
boom.
Fitz knocked it out of the park, too.
And Greg McElroy was a terrible NFL quarterback. He's not. Yeah. He lasted 2 years in the NFL or whatever, as a third string quarterback. That's Ryan right. Fitzpatrick. Well, Fitzpatrick, yeah, oh, he went to Harvard, right? So there's no correlation between having a high Wonderlic score and having being a big time quarterback. As Mike mentioned, Dan Marino scored, Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, he scored a 15 on the Wonderlic. Donovan McNabb got a 14, went 98-62-1 as a starter, 6 Pro Bowls in 13 seasons. So, you know, this Wonderlic stuff is just stupid. I get some of the questions they ask these guys. They want to see, like, you know, their personalities and how they react to certain things.
Yeah.
You know, some of the questions are too much, but the Wonderlic stuff is just stupid.
Yeah, I've taken a Wonderlic test. I don't know why you would score so low. It isn't a difficult test, but again, there isn't, as far as we know, any correlation between the score and your ability to be a good QB. You just ripped off two guys that are in the Hall of Fame and another one that was built a huge career and didn't score over 15.
I guarantee you, though, if you gave the Wonderlic to a bunch of coaches, they'd do terrible. If you gave the Wonderlic to, like, I'd like to see, give the Wonderlic to Rex Ryan. Let's see how he does.
It's 50 questions, 12 minutes. You know, you're under the gun. So if you're not good at taking standardized tests like that, you're not going to do well.
And, well, the fact is, I don't think they care either. Vince Young walked out, right? Vince Young, like, did, like, 10 questions and basically stopped.
Yeah.
He was like, this is stupid. And he got up and he walked out. You know, they want to see, you know, your temperament, how can you solve problems and all that, but it's all irrelevant. Like, it's hypocritical. Like, if the NFL was some perfectionist league, then I would get it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so you're worried about a guy's Wonderlic test, but you're not worried that, you know, he beat up a pregnant woman before.
Yeah, like, I understand.
See, that's where I'm going with this. Like,
yeah,
so
I agree. They're,
it's a waste of time. Like,
yeah,
this stuff.
I think the personal aptitude test, like a personality test, and a football aptitude test are things that I'd be far more interested in if I'm evaluating these players than a Wonderlic, which, as you said, most of the guys are just sort of putting a stamp on it. They don't really care.
I would agree with that. you know, the, you know, when little Susie went to the market with, you know, 12 eggs, how many did she come back with? I don't give a crap if Jalen Hurts answers this. Right. I can understand why he'd be like, you know, screw off with this. But it's a good point that you raised. If I was a team and I was a GM, you know, obviously it's about the football player. It's about the type of guy he is, the type of character. And I don't mean, ooh, I'm looking for Rudy here, but I mean, does he fit what we're doing? Is he the type of player that'll fit the role of our team? But my biggest concern would exactly be that, is that I just want to know if we give, and I want to know about his personality, and it's all about money. I just need to know, if we give this kid a ton of money, what's going to happen?
Right.
Is he going to be, is he going to go buy like, you know, 18 Rolexes and knock up six chicks?
Yeah.
Is he going to, and I'm not judging people on how they spend their money, but you know what I mean? I need to know, is he going to get soft? Because we've seen this, right? And, you know, there's been a problem out of Alabama before in the past. Alabama's been on a nice run as of late, but we've seen this, and it used to be the way in with Russians in the old days in hockey, in which they went through so much. They made it getting there. We see it in the NBA sometimes. You know what I mean? With underachievers, they made it. Like, that's their goal, like, to get there.
Yeah.
You know, I think Leonard Fournette is sort of a guy like that for me. I think Leonard Fournette sort of looks at it like, I went through hell. I don't even really like this. I played college ball. I did it to get the money. Now I got the money.
Right.
Right? And what do you want from me?
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys that aren't going to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And you see
I
that in sports,
fair.
Right? You give money to guys. Some guys want to be the best. Other guys want to get paid.
Albert Haynesworth.
I'm looking for the guys who want to be the best.
Albert Haynesworth, the biggest example, right? He got that paycheck and decided, I'm done with all this. And he didn't really want to work after that. You know, I think the key question in all of this is that when you draft somebody, especially if you're drafting somebody high in the first round, they're going to leave everything else behind. Family and football. Like, that's it. Does the switch flip for the guy that, like, hey, I'm done partying like crazy. Those are my college days. Can I dedicate myself? Which, frankly, I understand why it's hard for a 22-year-old guy to be now the leader of an organization is hard. But
you know what it is?
That's what you need.
It's interesting. I look at a guy like Norman Powell on the Toronto Raptors, and you look, it's unfortunate for him because just as everything got shut down, he was really starting to come into his own.
Yeah.
And he was one of these guys that had a ton of talent, got to the NBA, but didn't push it. He was happy to be in the NBA. He was happy to go to the club. He was happy to make $13 million a year, you know what I mean, or whatever, $12 million.
Good.
It's good money, as you said. So, oh, you're a big loser, right? Yeah, I'm in the NBA, and I'm making $10 million,
right,
or whatever it was. But it was like, bro, you can be better. And then someone, I think it was DeMar DeRozan, explained to him, you'll make more money if you're better. And he sort of got it, and he stepped it up a notch. But we'll continue this, and we'll get in to the National Football League draft and some of the teams and the problems.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You are watching and listening to Game Time Decisions. I am Renzi. I'm on the grid. SB Nation Radio, the loudest station in the nation. We're throwing it down with Mike Blue. We're talking about the National Football League draft. All right, let's get into some players and some teams specifically. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to take Joe Burrow, although I won't bet it. I'm not going to bet it because it's like 70 to 1.
Yeah, it's crazy now.
Although I will admit, I did bet on that Ionescu girl to be selected first.
Nice. What were your odds?
50 to 1.
Very nice.
I bet $100 to win $2. I don't usually do that.
It's a lock. But,
yeah, no, honestly, I was sitting there and I was like, go ahead, the WNBA draft is on. I'm like, well, let me see what the odds are for. I was like, oh, 50 to 1.
It's just one. I mean, it's just one. It's just one action, right? It's like when people were betting the big money on UConn women's hoops to win tournaments, to bet like 30 grand to win 500 bucks. It's like, hey, they got to win six games. It's not really a great bet.
Yeah, but this Ionescu, was a mortal lock. Like it was the lock of all locks. It could have been like 50,000 to one. I did it with Zion as well because that was a lock of all locks. Joe Burrow is a lock of all locks, but I wouldn't do it just because the NFL is crazy, right? I wouldn't do it just because
you're betting on the worst franchise in the NFL for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. And it's 70.
They make a lot of bad decisions.
I just figured, hey, I got a kick out of it. I made $2. I got a Coca-Cola out of the deal. I got a Coca-Cola out of the deal. So the Washington Redskins, we never know. One thing I find interesting, too, and I never put any stock, zero at all, in the media's mock drafts, but I'll tell you that Jason Lacanfora, who I do like, Lacanfora said that he spoke with, you know, and I do believe him, so he said, I spoke with a bunch of GMs, and the GMs all told me the same thing. He goes, I see all your guys' mock drafts. He goes, way off this year.
Yeah.
And I, you know, what does that mean? He's just stating, he goes, you guys are off this year on your draft board. So I wonder where, you know, everyone's thinking differently. So let me throw it at you. Washington Redskins, do you think they trade the pick? I say no, they don't. I think they're going to hang on to it and take Chase Young.
I think they hang on to it and take Chase Young. Ryan Kerrigan's 32. He's been a very productive player for them, but it's his last year of his deal. It might even make some sense if they moved on from Kerrigan. I don't know what that would do to the locker room, but if they moved on from Kerrigan, because they have Montez Sweat, who they drafted last year, they'd have Chase Young as bookend pass rushers for the next conceivable amount of years.
All right, so the Detroit Lions are sort of when the wild card begins here.
That's right.
Quinn, the general manager, Bob Quinn, has sort of put it out there. He leaked it that they're open their phones. They're willing to take a call on this.
I don't mind him saying that because he just should. Like, everybody call me.
I get it. But and they're kind of tough to predict, though. Will they take Jeff Okuda? They lost Darius Slay. Will they take Okuda? I was thinking so. Now I'm not so sure. I think they might trade the pick, or you know, that when I just said when the guys told Lacanfora, we think you're a little off on your board, and not Lacanfora, they told Lacanfora all the mock drafts are a little off this year, it seems to them.
Yeah.
I think Isaiah Simmons might be that guy that the media is not hyping up, that coaches and players like. Wouldn't shock me if Isaiah Simmons went to the Detroit Lions if they held on to the pick.
Either. It would not shock me either. They drafted a linebacker, Jared Davis, a couple of years back. He hasn't been the game breaker that they anticipated. It's a good player, but not the game breaker. Isaiah Simmons is at another level. Where I think it could go haywire, Gabe, is that I think a lot of people suspect that Detroit could move out of that pick, the Giants could move out of their pick. And what I think could screw people up is that since there aren't a lot of available slots for QBs, teams might sit on their hands and just wait for the QBs to drop. That's the one thing I'm thinking. But if you really love Tua, you have to do everything in your power to get him.
It's one of these weird deals. It really is. They really are playing poker here.
That's right.
Because if you're the Miami Dolphins and you're the LA Chargers, there's no secret you need quarterbacks. So you're sitting there at 5-6.
Yep.
All right. So Cincinnati, you're taking Burrow. Washington, you're taking Chase Young. Detroit's not taking a quarterback. The New York Giants aren't taking a quarterback. Some people think, ooh, the Lions are going to take a quarterback. I don't see it happening.
No way.
The Giants aren't taking a quarterback, all right? No. That's a fact. They're not taking a quarterback. And it's unpredictable. Gettleman's unpredictable, but he ain't taking a quarterback. So I'm hearing the same thing, that the Dolphins and Chargers basically think we don't have to trade up. We'll just stand pat. And also, although this is no way to run a franchise, I'm hearing word out of L.A. with the Chargers is, they'll just let the chips fall where they may.
If the Dolphins take Tua, they'll take Herbert. If the Dolphins take Herbert, they'll take Tua. Is that a way to run a franchise?
I don't think so. I'd rather them be more committed than that. But
that's like fantasy football. Well, I guess I'll take Matt Ryan or Stafford if they're.
Right. That's for me. I'd want them to want some conviction in the building. But you know what? If you have 10 personnel guys and you got a 5-5 split, and you know you need a quarterback, they're the one team that really absolutely needs one. I mean, Miami, the Chargers, the Jaguars, whom I actually don't think are going to take a QB or don't have to because the team's so bad
they need somebody holds.
And then the Raiders.
I don't think the Raiders will take QB. I was sort of thinking it. Maybe they. I think the Raiders, if they do, they take a chance on someone a little bit later.
Yeah, I think they're a wild card team. I don't think they're going to win.
Well, they have the 12th and 19th pick. They can really improve their football team.
That's right.
They're not hiding it that they want a wide receiver. So let me ask you then, because all the wide receiver row, so to speak, I look at it like a Monopoly game. You know what I mean? Like, so you're on like the row here, Park Avenue, so to speak. Now, the wide receivers, it's that 11, 12, 13 range, right? The New York Jets at 11, the Raiders at 12, San Francisco at 13.
Yeah, and Broncos too, yeah.
Yeah, Broncos 15. What about the Jags at 9? Are they? To me, Minshew's not good enough that you're going to get him somebody.
I agree.
Right? It's more so like, no, we'll get someone else and maybe get another quarterback and build the football team. Get like Derek Brown or get someone, a defensive guy here. Sure. They need defense. They've lost everybody. Like, to me, like, it's not like, ooh, we got to get Minshew a stud. Minshew blows. So, but I'm just asking, do you think, like Jerry Jeudy, where does the first wide receiver get drafted, do you think?
So I think this is where, much like the quarterbacks potentially sliding, keep in mind, we saw a couple of years ago in a draft which we thought was going to be completely dominated by defense in the top 10, multiple teams trade up into the top 10 to take Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross. Now, you can evaluate those guys however you want. Mike Williams has been pretty good. Davis, probably a disappointment thus far. And John Ross, barely on the field. So what I think is because there's so many wide receivers, many teams are thinking they can just sit around and wait. Well, if the Raiders really love Jerry Jeudy, then they could be on the move. Maybe all the way up to number 3, maybe to number 9 just to leapfrog the Jets. If I'm the Jaguars, I'm absolutely putting that pick up for sale. Top to bottom, it's the worst roster in the NFL. They made one really impact free agency signing in Joe Schobert.
They're probably the worst team in the NFL, actually.
I think the Jaguars and the Bengals are the two worst teams top to bottom, and the Jaguars are going to have Gardner Minshew versus Joe Burrow going into next season. So, as much as I understand how bad the Bengals are, they signed a few guys, too. They signed DJ Reader. They signed Trey Waynes. They signed multiple guys. They actually spent some money. Now, is Zach Taylor the guy to lead this team into success? I don't know, but the Jaguars have been consistently the worst franchise for a decade, losing multiple digits, double-digit games 8 of 9 years. So I think that Jaguars pick should be on the move. They should try to get additional first and second-round picks. Even if it's to move back a couple of slots and let Jeudy go to the Raiders or Jeudy go to the Niners. Whoever wants Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs, come up and get him.
You know, CeeDee Lamb, not a lot of talk about him over the last couple of days, which leads me to believe the teams like him. There's a lot of unknowns and variables here. To me, and I've been betting the draft a long time, it's not my first draft bet, all right?
Yeah.
This is a really freaking hard draft to bet on.
I agree.
It really is hard. Why? Because there's so many good players. Like, they're just, you could say, well, Jerry Jeudy might go first, but someone might like CeeDee Lamb as well. There's a couple of over-under props that I do like that I'm going to say over the number because I think there's so many good wide receivers, teams are going to wait. But I do think it's going to be like a fantasy football draft. Once there's a run on it, people are going to panic, and they're going to step up and go, all right, we better grab Ruggs now since Judy's gone and Lamb's gone. We don't want to fall too far behind this. They're all at the same prop here, 12.5. Jerry Jeudy is 12.5. CeeDee Lamb is 12.5. Who do you think gets drafted first? And let me ask you, too, the Cleveland Browns are at 10. We didn't bring them up. I don't think the Cleveland Browns, they shouldn't take a wide receiver. They don't need a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But you're hearing all this talk, they're going to get a wide receiver. And now there's more grumblings about Beckham being traded.
Yeah.
There was the Viking rumor that was squashed. I'm not discounting it. I think if we were in a perfect world right now and we weren't under lockdown and all this type of stuff, I think they would trade him. I think it's more complicated now. It's just no one really knows anything. He's not happy there. He's not fitting in there. He wants out of there. He was never happy to go there in the first place. You know he doesn't want to stay there. So I'm sort of buying it, but does Cleveland like take, what do you think of Lamb and Judy clubbing out?
When it comes to the Browns trading Beckham and even the Lions trading number three, there's also a key question in all this, Gabe, is are they going to get what they're asking for? And if the Lions don't get what they're asking for at three, then they might just take Jeff Okuda or Isaiah Simmons, as you said. Similar with the Browns and Beckham. They're throwing it out there, but if nobody's going to give them a first-round pick or whatever it is they might be asking for, second and a fifth or whatever, then they'll just hang on to him. As far as Judy and Lamb, if I had to make a slight prediction here, because people are saying that the mocks are wrong, I'll say that a couple of teams try to trade up to get those two guys, Judy and or Lamb, in the top 10. So that's the bold prediction, if you consider that to be bold, that I would make. I don't think the Jets can sit there at 11 and get who they want. Same with the Raiders, same with the Niners. You have three teams that we all know their top need is a wide receiver. They can't sit there and just take who's left. They have to go get the guy that they like. And I'll say it's Judy over Lamb.
All right, so let me ask you about your Pittsburgh Steelers. The Sports Chris Mike Blewett is a big Pittsburgh Steeler fan.
I am.
They drafted their first-round pick for Fitzpatrick.
Right.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with it. He played very well. He's a good football player. So now the Pittsburgh Steelers, their first draft pick up is the 49th pick in the draft. So
only
it's very
picks.
Difficult. Yeah, like so when like people ask me, too, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan for people tuning in that don't know. I'm a Bills guy, and people ask me, Rutz, what are the Bills going to do in the draft? I don't know, dude. They're taking 54th pick. Right. It really is like the best available player syndrome, right? But it is and it isn't because this draft is so freaking deep. Right. Even at 49 and 54, you still can pick a very, very good football player in this draft. You want a good running back? Get a good running back. You want a wide receiver? They're still there.
Steelers got Juju in the second round a couple years ago.
Exactly. You know, the Buffalo Bills actually didn't one of their best ever players. I was reading like there's only been like four or five times the Bills haven't had a first round pick. When they didn't, they traded it to the Colts for Cornelius Bennett.
Yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, they took in a second round, and people were bitching at the time. We don't have a first-round pick. Thurman Thomas.
Yeah.
Thurman Thomas in the second round. Hall of Famer. Yeah. So, we got about 4 or 5 minutes here. What about the Steelers? What do you think they're going to do? I keep hearing wide receiver a lot. Connor, he's good, but what about running back?
Yeah.
What about your guy, A.J. Dillon, for the Steelers, if he's still around? I don't know if Dobbins is still going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love that. And look, if they end up with with another running back to pair with Connor and everybody else back there, then I would be okay with it. What I start to look at is they lost their nose tackle in Javon Hargrave during free agency. The offensive line has been good for a long time, but you have Ramon Foster retire. And I just think they're going to backfill potentially there. But as its best player available, their needs would be nose tackle. It would be offensive line, and I think they continue to build out at corner. They've struck out. They've tried a lot of different moves at corner, and they've struck out a lot, so I think you could potentially go there. They're good at safety now. They got Edmonds and Minka, so they need to get corner. Linebacker, they're loaded, so that's where I'd go. Offensive line, nose tackle, corner.
And they've had secondary issues since my boy retired, Ike Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, going back and Polamalu and everything, but
Ryan Clark, like those guys were legit, and it started
it's been
to fall
an issue
apart
for them since then, hasn't it?
Yeah,
you know, they haven't had that definitive shutdown cornerback.
No, the playmaking safety was really a calling card for them for a long time, right? Ryan Clark was the solid safety that made the right plays. Polamalu was aggressive and made a lot of plays. I think Tomlin's trying to recreate that here with Minka and Edmonds, and then obviously they need some help at corner, you know, whether it's nickelback or one of the field or boundary corner as well.
All right, so we've got about 2.5 minutes here, so let's get into Jalen Hurts a little bit, because we've seen Tomlin has taken a chance on a couple of quarterbacks over the years.
Yeah.
I'll roll the dice late with Dobbs, see, you know, and basically just wanted to get Dobbs a career, and he did, made him some money.
They got a pick for him.
Yeah.
Steelers got a pick for him.
Exactly. Then Mason Rudolph's not working out.
No.
So Jalen Hurts, I think Mel Kiper might have Hurts going to the Steelers. Yeah, that's not happening. They're not going to use their first pick on a quarterback, right? But
no.
And I love the Jalen Hurts prop over 62.5. I don't think he's going in the first two rounds. So But it wouldn't shock me if Jalen Hurts went to the Steelers in the third round. Hurts is actually not a bad pick for the Steelers, in my opinion.
No, I think that would be really interesting for them. I think somebody might take a shot. I understand the over bet. I think somebody might take a shot on him earlier than that.
In the first two rounds, since it's 62.5, you think so?
I think so. Like, I would lean towards he makes it into that second round. Just because I think people are enamored with the
numbers. You're wrong, Blewett. You're wrong.
All right. Well, you and I are at odds. You and I are at odds on this one. As far as the Steelers are concerned, Ben's got 2 years, really, contract-wise. So do you want to sit somebody for 2 years and throw Rudolph away? I think you get another year. Yeah, I think you get a new setup. I think you get a new setup starting next year. I think you keep the same setup here. No, I mean, they're poised to try to win something, right? This isn't a bad team. And if all went well, they could really challenge. They're not as good as the Chiefs or the Ravens at the moment. But
not as good as the Bills or anything like that. But I hear what you're saying. You guys,
Bills are legit.
Everyone's on the Bills wagon right now.
That's when you start to get nervous as a fan. Whoa. Everybody likes us?
Oh, yeah, I am nervous. Like, I saw the ESPN bozos talking about if the Bills don't win a division this year, they're better. There's no way they can't. I'm thinking, just shut up, all right? We're not out of the woods yet. We'll see what the Patriots have up.
I like your coach. I like your GM. I like what they're doing. That's all I can say.
All right. So I look forward to Thursday.
Yeah, me too.
This NFL draft. It's nice to have something real to bet on as well. Besides 50-1 WNBA bets to buy a milkshake at McDonald's. Not even $2.
I'll start congrats on the W.
Hey, all right. Good stuff. Stay safe, Mike. We'll speak later in the week. NFL draft rapidly approaching. Get on the grid. You're listening to SB Nation Radio, the loudest station.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.